This is Will's Band of the Week for January 19th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
Happy 2020.
Yeah, first of the new year.
It is 2020 also in Europe, right?
Yeah, we're just, it was 6 hours earlier here. It was 2020.
Yeah, yep, so you're still close. It's not like a different century over there or something.
No, it's not even a different decade,
yeah,
according to me.
It kind of feels like a different century when you see all the housing, though, over there, right? Because, you know, you're surrounded by buildings that are 500 years old or older, right? And we're like a young country. So there's a very different feel to the architecture.
The tourist board would not want me to give the impression every building is 500 years old.
Right.
But we've got to have some accuracy. There would be some claims, lawsuits, but some are.
Yeah, like the castle where Led Zeppelin recorded albums, that stuff like that, to give it a little rock and roll reference. I don't know where that was. I remember seeing a film where they were showing this big old mansion where apparently like they recorded John Bonham's drums in like the entryway of this big old house.
That's a great Led Zeppelin thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a totally classic old, you know, maybe not 500 years old, but pretty old. Built really well the way they used to build things, as opposed to these days.
Yeah, just like the cliche.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have all kinds of exciting stuff, so this is really cool, right? I think I'm pretty excited about the content this week.
Yeah, you in pre-production, which is obviously we don't want to bore the listeners too much, but you were in touch and you said there's a couple of things to round off from last year. But I was able to introduce something from this year. So I'm very pleased about that. Something brand new.
Yeah. And then we found another thing from this year. And then, so there's all kinds of fun to look forward to. Unfortunately, we have one of these first.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
The drummer for the legendary, I'll call him a prog rock band, Rush, Neil Peart, who sometimes people pronounce it Pert. In fact, when I was younger, we used to call him Neil Peart. But I've seen a couple of video interviews with him recently where they pronounced it Peart. So I'm figuring, you know, he would have either, you know, told them how to pronounce it or maybe corrected them or whatever. So I'm going with Peart, and he was just, you know, if you talk about classic rock drummers, you have maybe five, like a big five, and he's in there. He's right in there with, you know, Bonham and Keith Moon and who's that guy who was really crazy, kind of nuts, who just died
Keith
last
Moon
year.
Was nuts.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
that's the renowned thing about him, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of drummers are kind of nuts. So, there was a guy who was kind of off the rails, who I think died last year. I'm probably forgetting a couple of that are always in the, you know, in the discussion. But then the kind of unique thing about Neil Peart was that he also wrote the lyrics. And I don't know if you know anything about Rush lyrics. I think they're probably of a time that I wouldn't expect you to be a Rush fan.
No, it's just something which has completely passed me by, I'm afraid.
But in the late 70s and early 80s, they were, you know, right in my teenager wheelhouse. And a band from Canada, from Toronto, actually, or that area. And the lyrics were either absurd or really profound, or probably something in between. And then the drummer wrote all the lyrics. And incredible drummer and really interesting guy if you ever have heard interviews with him. There's a film that they made in like, oh God, I'm going to get the date all wrong. Must be like 2010 or something. There's a really good Rush documentary. So in honor of Neil Peart, let's play a little. I'm going to play a little bit of one of their, probably their most famous song, actually, was a song called Tom Sawyer. The beginning, the drums aren't very remarkable, so let's cut in the middle. That does make me smile.
Yeah, classic classic rock sound.
Yeah, and he had a classic rock setup that was just like the hugest drum set you've ever seen, you know. And but he did it justice. So pretty amazing. R.I.P. Neil Peart. A classic in the true sense. All right. Well, we've always got more, right? Well, you have a live report, but it kind of ties in with one of the bands we're going to talk about, right?
Yeah, it does indeed.
So should we just launch right into the rock for the week?
Sounds good. Why not?
All right. So you told me about this band like 5 days ago. And that was the first I had heard of them. And then one of the blogs that I read mentioned them the next day. So at least I would have found them. But we got the recommendation from you and... It's a cool one. It's a fun one. So we'll turn it over to you.
Isn't that crazy how the sequencing of things? Yeah. If you'd read the blog first and then I'd mentioned it, you'd have been less impressed with me than you probably currently are.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd be much less impressed. But the other thing is, you know, you never know like how you're going to react because you read about so many bands. So I think what I read about it would have been enough for me to sample it. But having the recommendation from you made me sure that I would delve into it completely. Which I did, and then it was great.
Here we go, then. This is a band from Motherwell, which is, if you know where Glasgow is, then it's a little bit to the south. I always get east and west, southeast. So it's sort of between Edinburgh and Glasgow, but much nearer to Glasgow and a bit below in Scotland. And my history goes back a little bit more than 5 days. I think, well, I've talked before, we used to go to this the Indie Pop Festival at the Steam Railway. In England in the summer, that's in July usually, and they've played a couple of times there and we've seen them. This is the Just Jones. Have I said that yet? This is the Just Jones. And then they sort of disappeared for a long time and we stopped going to that event and then they just popped up with a new album. That came out last week, I think. And then on the day it was released, they were playing in London, so we went along and saw them again. Well, I'll talk a little bit about all that and this and that. I think it's their fourth or fifth record, The Private Memoirs and Confessions of the Just Jones. And it's, how would you describe it? Well, I had one obvious comparison, which some of the tracks sound like, but it's male and female vocals, but the back and forth thing that we kind of like quite a bit. Indie pop sound, definitely.
Yep.
Just have a little sample and then, no, this is true. I'm trying to stall while I try to think what to play. But I have a good, I think this is the one to go with. Track three. We guys, Bobby's got a punctured lung, in brackets.
I do things people don't do, you know. Like you say, I'm always at the front of the crowd if there's a fight, you know. I'm always right in the front if there's any damage. We'll be right back.
trouble. Don't even have stubble. Got nothing to do. So they stand on their corner. They're just defending the honor of the patch of this town they call home. Somebody looked at him, then someone said something. The kitchen knife came in before a punch was even flung. And Bobby's got a puncture lung. So hard to prevent it. Boys will be boys after. The cops have been asking. But nobody's grassing.
The Just Jones.
And if you didn't know before, because I told you, then the accent might give it away.
Right.
This is one of the most notable things about them, I think. We didn't have Katie singing there, but we'll try and find a song with her on. And she has a very, very lovely, thick Scottish accent as well.
Yep. Well, you made a band comparison that I thought was pretty good. So, but I shouldn't steal that from you.
There's one track particularly. And I think I didn't necessarily, it never occurred to me before. I've known of this band for like 8 or 9 years or something. It never occurred to me before. But there was one album by this other band which was done in a particular way. And then this one song on here sounds like that. So,
are you saving that then? Are you going to keep the listeners guessing?
I'm saving it. Yeah.
Okay. I have a pick, and I think this is a really good one. I might even go so far as to call it the standout. So I'm glad you didn't steal it from me.
You pay me not to steal your picks, of course.
So. Yeah. We're going to go with number 8, the one I loathe the least.
The cinema shut down, and every bus is calling us to pack up and leave town. Meet me on the corner, we'll go for a wander and talk about the things we despise. Songs so cruel, I'm hanging by a thread. The girls are mean, the boys obscene. I wish I'd stayed in bed. The evening news gives.
That's great. I'd like to keep it playing longer, but now we got time constraints here.
Yeah, I think we can make the comparison now because that one did sound like the Magnetic Fields as well.
There you go. Yeah.
But there's one song, and I think you know which one. I'm going to have to pick it next, which sounds like the album the Magnetic Fields did with the synthesizers.
I'm not sure exactly which one you're thinking, so...
Oh, great. I can't wait to do this. Yeah, so obviously there's indie pop sound and incredibly sarcastic and dour and self-deprecating. It goes with the territory, really, with this kind of music. But also, it's an incredibly good live band. I don't know how to describe it. We went along last Friday and haven't seen them in a few years. And I thought, oh, can I really be bothered to go? I just didn't really want to go. I thought, their albums are never really that good. This new one is an exception, I would say. The recorded material never seemed to live up. But anyway, it's just so good. 10 out of 10, and I'll be amazed if there's many, many better things this year. It's just a really good band, and so good at what they're doing.
They have at least 5, maybe 6 people in the band, right?
Yeah, no, there's David and Katie, their brother and sister. That's the two people we hear singing. Guitarist, keyboardist, drummer, and bass. Yeah.
Yeah.
And David plays guitar as well. But there's like acoustic, and then there's electric guitarist as well. So yeah, 6 is that? Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. So
yeah, very good. They did a cover version, but in the set, which is one of my favorite songs, and I wanted to listen to that. But before we get to there, let's do this Magnetic Fields thing. Track 5, a great song title as well. And you could think Stephen Merritt could have written this. My Undying Love for You Is Starting to Die.
Our souls, but nowadays I'm sad to see it barely does the waltz. Those afternoons in golden June, when all was fun and gay, have disappeared, and now I fear the winter's on its way. My undying love for you is beginning to die. Those songs of love which rang so hollow and contrived. My undying love for you is beginning to die. We promised everlasting love, alas the end is nigh. Once upon a time long gone, you held me in your thrall, but now I find I'm less inclined to bother much at all. I think that you might feel it too, perhaps that's why you left 2 years ago with your new beau. It made me all depressed. My undying love for you is beginning to die. Those songs of love which rang so true seem hollow and contrived.
Yeah, that's totally Magnetic Fields.
Yeah, the album was Distortion. Yeah. I had to cheat and look it up, but they came out, the Magnetic Fields album Distortion, where they had all the, I think that's the one. Well, I could be wrong, but with loads of feedback and a different kind of sound to normal.
Yeah, so this album is, it doesn't all sound the same at all. It's all interesting and, you know, obviously really melodic, but also, like you said, the lyrics are funny and kind of gloomy.
Yeah, there's at least 2 songs which are quite slow, and one of them at least is quite orchestral, which is a bit of a departure for the band, so trying out new things. Yeah, we didn't really pick anything like that, but there are a couple of slower, more ballady, thoughtful ones.
Right, they're kind of indie rock veterans. You said you've been familiar with them for like 10 years, and the thing I read said they've been, they started in 2005. So,
wow, yeah.
Yeah, so not probably... We wouldn't call them aging rockers, but definitely indie rock veterans.
Yeah, I think the he mentioned a couple of times he's coming up to his 40th birthday, and one of the songs mentions that as well. So yeah, not an aging rocker, but I don't know.
Aspiring
indie rock veteran. There we go.
Yeah. Aspiring to be an aging rocker.
Yeah, they're gonna have to go some way. A couple more albums.
Yep. Well, you mentioned the cover song that they played, so we were gonna play that one, right?
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Now this was a band. I saw them supporting Shrag, so that tells you how long ago this was. And they we just thought this is an amazing band. It's like the singer was like Annie Lennox or something. I'm not even joking. We're going to hear it, so you'll find out what I mean. Fronting an indie pop band. And then they just disappeared off the face of the earth. They're probably split up. It's a shame. This is a band called Help Stamp Out Loneliness. And the song that was played as a cover, and well, I would imagine it's their best song now. It's called Record Shop, and I'd like to listen to a bit of this, share this with the listeners.
I found it.
It's almost too good. I'm going to warn you, it makes me feel a bit funny.
It's from the self-titled 2011 album Help Stamp Out Loneliness, and it's track 3, Record Shop. Wow, that is really good, and I've never heard of that band before. That's cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough challenge. Find a band that that somebody's never heard of, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't. Who knows what happened? Personal circumstances, or maybe their dream was to release one album and disappear. But it's a shame. I really wanted to see more of them. But there we go. That's the nature of life.
Yeah, that's the only album on the streaming service. And then below that, it says albums you may like. You may also like. It has a band called The School. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah. And, nice indie pop band from Wales.
And then the other one is a Craig favorite, The Pains of Being Pure at Heart.
Well, there you go. It's all coming together nicely.
Yeah. The computer algorithms can predict what you like. So
yeah, The School. School are a good band as well.
Huh, cool. I haven't heard of them either. All right, there's just so much music out there. It's incredible. So that's pretty cool. That's a great thing, you know, for a band like the Just Jones to play a cover. You know, they're not going to play like the Cranberries or something. They're going to play something, you know, much cooler, right?
Well, when they say we're doing a cover now, and you think, well, I don't know if this happens to you as well, Will, but most times when a band says that, I haven't heard the song. Because usually they're playing something that they're a cult favorite. But when they said, oh, we're doing a song by Help Stamp Out Loneliness, I thought, well, come on, it's got to be this. That it was, so that was good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, I'm declaring we're 1-for-1 on the Just Jones. Is that our first 2020 release?
1-for-1 on the year.
I think that's the first one we've discussed, right?
What other podcasts can compete with this hit rate?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think basically we just took the lead of the world lead in podcasting with that. And then, we have another 2020 release, actually, and ready to move on to that one?
Yeah, I was going to say, quite often I like to think, when the band's on the podcast, or if I'm just listening to it, or if I'm talking about it on the podcast, I think, what other podcaster would like this band? And I think with Just Jones, I'm going to say David, and it helps Stamp Out Loners, I think David. With this next band, I think it's only me. I really can't think of anyone else who would like them. It's a bit of a fun band, aren't they?
It'll be interesting to hear how everybody else reacts, but I think I liked it a lot. And they probably won't be coming over to the U.S. for at least a while, will they?
No.
I'll catch them on one of my, monthly trips to Europe.
Yeah.
If only that were the case. But you never know. Maybe someday. All right. Let's take it back to the U.S.
Yeah.
Philadelphia. I think we've talked about quite a few Philadelphia artists, actually.
Alex G.
Right.
Kurt Vile.
Yep.
Who's the guy? He was in the band, Kurt Vile. Very long, like Neil Young style, long songs.
Right, right. what is that band? I'm picturing them right now.
Stadia. They're so famous.
Yeah, they're too famous for us. The band that Kurt Vile used to be in. And then there's...
Is Waxahachie living there now? She's not from the South, but I think she lives there now.
Who was it?
Waxahachie?
Oh, seems
maybe
like
maybe not. I think she's from Alabama or something.
I think she's Birmingham, Alabama, but there might have been a Philadelphia thing connection. There was a band called Spirit of the Beehive. They're from Philadelphia. There's, what's that really noisy, super noisy band? I think David told us about them. We talked about them on the podcast. They're getting some good press lately. They got in some like best punk albums of 2019 lists. I'm forgetting all band names right now. but they're cool. There are a few others that I'm not remembering at this moment. But anyway, we're talking about, of course, the band fronted by James Alex. So do you think we gave them a clue? How many listeners do you think now are like, oh, yeah, we know who that is?
We have pretty knowledgeable listeners. Yeah. I think quite a few.
This band would be Beach Slang, and I'm not even sure what to say about this album. maybe we ought to play a track, and then after that we can kind of fill in all the fun details.
Yeah, this discussion can go wild.
Yeah. I think clearly James Alex has an obsession with one specific band that he really, really wants to sound like. And you probably can't have a better example of that than number four, Tommy in the 80s. Yeah, so people old enough will recognize, especially if they're from the Midwestern United States, you'll recognize that that is an effort to try to be the Replacements. And what's funny about it is it sounds so much like the Replacements, and it's called Tommy in the 80s, so you assume that means Tommy Stinson. And there's even a funnier connection that Tommy Stinson plays on the album. So it's like, oh, you even got the guy to play on the album. It was even suggested somewhere that he might even be in the band now, but I don't know if that's the case. I think Tommy Stinson was in Guns N' Roses for a while, so, which is funny, too. But there you go. The album is called The Deadbeat Bang of Heartbreak City. And, well, you have some context for this because you've seen this band live, and I haven't. And I think it gave you a particular viewpoint, right?
Yeah, this is the thing. I'm sure I did a live report at the time, or maybe I wasn't a fully-fledged correspondent then. But look, I've forgotten, so the listeners probably have forgotten. But they played in Norwich, and it's just, I don't know, it just feels like a such a rare thing that the first thing to say is that there's an element of pastiche and fun here, but there's also so much seriousness and earnestness and genuineness. It's hard to dislike them that much. I really saw them, this guy, James Alex, he means it. He really is just... his life, he pours everything into it, being on that stage and writing these songs and connecting with his audience. It was just absolutely hilarious. I was crying tears of laughter watching this band. It's so fun. It's just, it's absurd. But also, you know, they're good enough that it's not just a joke. It's not like one of those joke bands where it's just completely silly.
Right.
And I don't like this album as much as the loud bash of Teenage Feelings or whatever it was from a few years ago. That was really great. But yeah, this is good enough, I think, to keep me interested.
Some of it delves so much into classic rock that I'm just like, boy, like there's a song called Born to Raise Hell. It's like, it's like, really? You know, that sounds like a 70s rock song. I mean, the song sounds like that too.
Yeah. But I have so much positive energy left over from that show, even yeah, though it was many years ago, that I can't really dislike them now, because and they're coming to South by Southwest, and I've got to see them.
Yeah, that's going to be.
I'm sure yeah, it'll be good. You've got to see this guy. He had those pin badges like covering his blazer, and then someone threw one at him, and he said, "Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to add this." He could barely find space to add the new one on, you know.
And the band, I think he started the band after he had reached age 40. So he's at least in his mid-40s now, which is sort of funny to me because he's, he's right now, I guess we're 3 decades past the Replacements. And he's in his age, he's kind of 2 decades, or at least... he's removed from them in a sense that he couldn't have been a fan as a teenager. So I don't know. It's all funny the way the timing of it works out. But he's out there to rock, like you said.
I just love his social media postings. That's just wonderful. This is the one. I sent this to you in pre-production. This record is for the kids who live on the streets that get forgotten. The ones seared to the gutter. The desperate and the cracked. The ones without a chance. I love you, and I mean that. J.A., James Alex. And I mean, it goes on and on. There's hundreds of these. There's just genuineness, like I was saying.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Fascinating, yeah.
I'm laughing in a nice way. I mean, I'm on his side, but he is funny.
Okay, and now you get to make your pick, and this is pretty important, right?
It is important because there's several things I could do here. There's the Born to Raise Hell you mentioned before.
Yeah.
There's a special closing piano ballad.
Right.
Oh, I can't pick that. I just think this is... the album really gets going for me. Like, you picked track 4. I think the one before is also good. Track 3, Bam Rang Rang.
Okay, so Bam Rang Rang is basically 2 songs. So at the 2-minute mark, it changes basically into a different song. So I'm going to play it a little bit longer because I want to play that second half, which I want to say something about.
Yeah.
So here
sounds
we go.
Good.
Downtown lust, switchblade blue.
It was hard to contain my laughter during that.
I was laughing. Yeah.
That is Kiss from 1977. That's what that sounds like. That riff, it's just exactly what they would do. And then the cowbell comes in. It's like,
yeah, I enjoy the cowbell.
Oh, man. Oh, God, that's funny. But it's kind of kick-ass. You know, it's like, I don't know if I would have appreciated that so much if I hadn't been listening to Kiss in 1977. But yeah, I hope to get to see them, and I hope they play that one, because that's pretty fun.
Yeah, you with your Tommy in the 80s, you stole my first pick, actually. Yeah. That was, yeah, I think that's probably the best.
Yeah. We could do a quick bonus track here, just to demonstrate that their replacements tribute band ability is versatile, because they can do the quiet replacement song also.
Okay.
Number 5, Nobody Say Nothing.
Just hush. Nobody say nothing, just hush. Nobody say nothing, shut up. Nobody say nothing. You walked out on my first breath. We were both barely alive. You chose cheap sex, while me and my mom just cried.
So yeah, tribute to the Replacements.
I was quite enjoying that, you know. And sometimes when you sit still and just listen with the headphones on, it's you know, this is a good band.
Yeah,
for all of the silliness and the fun, it's they are good.
I fully expect a large orchestra to be playing with them live, so they can reproduce that. They either won't play it, or they'll have a synthesizer, like pre-recorded track or something, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, these bands play so many shows in Austin that they can mix up the set a little bit, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
I
remember a band that did not mix up the set that you were very upset about.
Oh, the Chills.
Yeah.
You mentioned it to them when we met them.
Yeah, you're like, why can't you mix it up a little bit? Yeah, you complained. And then he gave you some explanation that you weren't totally satisfied with, right? He said something about how they just rehearsed.
It's hard to showcase the band in 5 songs, because we only have that X number of minutes, whatever he said, 28 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Some of the bands were playing 40 minutes, so that's just crap.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what their management have told them, but it's not true. So anyway.
Yeah.
I only was complaining because I care. I wanted to see more. So it was
often a
complaint comes from a positive thing, but it sounds negative. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. It was constructive criticism.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the one. Yeah.
Okay. all right. 2 for 2 for 2020, I would say. Yeah. All right. Let's go back. Let's do one more. And it's very late where you are, so we have to let you sleep pretty soon. But
I'm hanging on. I'm doing okay.
I've got one more I thought I'd try out on you. It's Emily Yacina, and she's sort of known for collaborating with Alex G, also known as Sandy Alex G. She's the female backup singer on many of his tracks that have a female backup singer. And she's from New York. I'm not sure if she, you know, may have lived in Philadelphia before and moved to, you know, Brooklyn for indie rock stardom or whatever. I'm not sure. She lists her residence, you know, like on the Bandcamp page or whatever, is just New York or New York City. So we don't really know if it's Brooklyn or somewhere else. Closer
Staten
to
Island, maybe.
Yeah. Have you ever hear about a band moving to Staten Island for indie rock stardom? It doesn't sound right, does it? Doesn't have that ring to it.
Something less cool about that.
Yeah, maybe. You want to be closer to David, probably, if you want to really be cool. Anyway, she's got her own full-length album that came out late in 2019, and it's called Remember the Silver. And it's sort of a bedroom pop kind of a thing. But, you know, not all bedroom pop is the same, and I think it's got its own interesting character. Sometimes it's a little off-kilter. Sometimes it's more catchy, and she's a really good singer, and it's kind of, kind of chamber poppy, maybe. So let's see if I described that in any way close to what it actually sounds like.
You're on the spot now to pick a track which sounds like all of that.
I know, yeah. Number six, Gleaming. Yosina. She showed restraint there. She could have just kept repeating that hook and made it a 3.5 or 4 minute song, but she just ends it a minute 33.
Did you play the whole song?
No, I never do that. That would be a serious violation. I probably played a minute 31 out of the minute 33.
Oh dear, I didn't want to be related in any way to the podcast where we played a whole song. I can't do the lawsuit right now.
Yeah. I'd refer them to you. I'd say, you need to go to the UK and pursue this Craig guy. He's really the mastermind behind the whole thing.
Yeah. Will's band of the week. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. Did my description fit?
I enjoyed that. Her voice is instantly familiar. I don't know. I'm trying to, if Barrett was here, he could tell us what it sounds like. But
yeah.
Sadly, he's not. So it'd be left to us to try and think of something.
I also want Barrett, I've got a question for Barrett. I'm going to just pose it right now. So if he listens to the podcast, he knows he needs to answer this. Does the Beach Slang album sound appealing to him, or does it make him extremely angry?
I think I know what the answer is going to be, but I can't wait to hear from him.
Okay, we're going to find out. So
yeah, I enjoyed that Yemeni Yosina track. I think I'm going to do a Chris here. If I'd heard it last year, it could have been on my top 10.
Wow, that's
no, I did enjoy it. I'm just joking to sound like Chris. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. That was the most catchy one, I think. So we'll see if we can sustain the momentum here with number two called Stephanie.
Seven.
That's Emily Yacina.
Yeah, sounding very good.
Yep, the album is called Remember the Silver. And I just read something that referred to her as a Philly native. So, yeah. And something said that she's been part of the DIY scene in Philadelphia and New York. So, yeah. How about one more?
Yeah, definitely. It reminds me a little bit of Florist. I think she's friends with them. Not just the kind of vibe of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written down Molly Rankin. I thought it doesn't really sound like Always, but just vocally it sounds a little bit like her. So that's my best effort where I was getting the familiarity from.
All right, let's try one more and see if we can find more references. So we don't play track 10 very often. It's a 12-track album, and I'm going to play number 10 called Better Off. That one had a little bit of an Alex G vibe to it.
Yeah, sounds about right.
The guitar work and kind of slightly, just not totally obvious, catchy, but just kind of interesting. So the album is called Remember the Silver. Check it out. It's worthy.
Yeah, nice. Thank you for the introduction.
So, yeah, I think that's probably pretty good for the week. We could keep rattling off more, but I think we've probably done it justice.
Are there any new releases coming out anytime soon? I think the year is really going to start.
Yeah.
Get going. Wire, I think.
Yeah, there's a Wire album. There are a few that have like a couple of tracks that have been released already, and they've got a release date. Let's see, maybe I can preview this for the listeners. This is the, it's like having a preview, like for a TV show, right at the end, like on the next episode. Even though we don't know what is going to be on the next episode. But there's a band from, I think, Paris called En Attendant Anna, probably pronounced wrong, that I like a lot. And I'm excited for that album. There's a Torres album coming out. That might be another month. Podcast favorites Beach Bunny have an album coming out pretty soon. So that, I don't know if that's within the next week, though. It might be. It's within the next month, I think, all those that I mentioned. Right.
See so, what I can find here. I've got Wolf Parade and Wire. Just scanning down here, see if I can. Drive-By Truckers, probably that's a skipper, I think.
Yeah, you know, what always happens is there are releases that are, you know, on the list of upcoming releases, but stuff always pops up that doesn't get put on those lists or just doesn't get, you know, for whatever reason, right? Because they're too cool, maybe, to be on those lists.
Well, yeah. Things like Bill's Indie Basement, who'll just talk about something which he's found from the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And which just didn't make any list. And it's, there'll always be bands with debut albums who weren't on these lists. So very exciting.
Yeah, like any week, the album of the year could come out. You just never know. So it's pretty exciting. So,
Soccer Mummy, Proper Ornaments. They're going into February now, though, but there's lots of good stuff coming.
Yeah. Yep.
There we go.
And, if it's not obvious, we will find it. We will dig until we find good music for the listeners. Well, that's it. We're done. Thank you for keeping the podcast going for another week and for that great pick of the Just Jones. And it's now midnight your time, right?
It's Friday. Friday morning.
Friday morning. Yeah. So, I can tell it's like a really big party going on at your place.
Yeah, as usual on a Thursday night. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely hopping. There was this funny thing. Twitter's a cesspit, really, but there was one funny thing. I'll see if I can get this. It's going to do it off the top of my head. Age 16, New Year's Eve, go to bed at 9 p.m. Age 18, go to bed at midnight at 5. Age 21, go to bed at 2 a.m. Age 28, go to bed at 4 a.m. Age 36, go to bed at 9 p.m. again, New Year's Eve. So that's pretty much where I'm at now.
Yeah, it was like a curve. Yeah, that's like that's about how it was for me.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah,
these things ring so true. That's why they're funny.
Yeah, I think this year I made it. I think I was up at 11 o'clock and I thought, well, why not? I'll just read some stuff online or something so I can make it to midnight.
So close by that point.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks again. Keep in touch.
No problem.
We'll have you on again soon. I've been advising the correspondents that they need to be ready to rock. They need to step up to the plate with some music. So we have all kinds of other stuff going on. We got people. We can start talking about best of the decade lists. And we have, there was something else. Well, Barrett and Chris actually made lists of their top 100 songs of all time. And Chris was showing me that he's got a list. I said, is this actually in order? And he said, yep. And it was like in order. I have their playlist. I think Barrett said he only has like 87 songs and he wasn't as specific about having them in order. So then it made me think, man, maybe I should try to do that. So I started doing it last night, like just accumulating songs that should be in contention. And I'm through the letter B. And I've got 29 songs already, and I'm through the letter B, so I don't know.
That sounds like very fun. I'm not going to do it. However, Barrett and I are working on he and his friend are working on something. I'm not going to say what it is in case he hasn't told you. Very exciting.
Yeah, I think he mentioned it, and we won't mention it on the recording. Because no,
it's Barrett's job to reveal that. But in the summertime, maybe spring, Barrett and I will be able to come on and reveal all. It's a very exciting project.
It's a deep dive into an older band, right?
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Yeah, I think I might have to try to do. I'll try to like sneak in, listen a little bit too. So yeah, okay, very cool. Thanks. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.